on a sad day in sports and life. Candid Frank Live.
Wow.
Tonight, it's less about wow, it's more about ow. And soon we'll have Corey Boyd on. But I just wanted to say a couple of things about what happened today. We don't know what happened, so we can't go running around accusing people of doing things or groups. But what we can do is say this. What will it take to stop people from thinking that this is their only resort? There are those out there who will say that these are just crazy people who would do this anyway. That, to me, eliminates any hope whatsoever to stop this kind of stuff from happening. I kind of hope there's some changes we can make. I kind of hope that maybe possibly there's communication that can happen, compromise that can take place, enough so that people feel that this isn't the only way they can make a point, as crazy as they may be by our definition. My prayers go out to the innocent people that were killed today for a reason we don't know why, by a group we don't know who. There's only one thing I know for sure. There are a lot of sad people out there today, and many of them don't know any of the victims. Many of them don't understand why they're victims. I didn't write any of this down. I didn't think about what I was going to say. Just all of a sudden, I felt I needed to say it. So I beg your forgiveness if this bothers you. And I say you're welcome if it's something that you need to hear. So we'll move on to the show. But I'd like to have a moment's silence on behalf of the people that were killed today and the people who were injured and hurt in the most devastating way, with the intention of being hurt. Okay, our guest tonight is Corey Boyd. Corey the King Boyd. Thank you, Corey, for hanging on.
Thank you, and God bless. Great message that you just sent out there.
Thank you, Corey. You have any sentiments on what happened today?
Man, it's just overwhelming right now. You know, thoughts are still being gathered. Feelings are still, you know, up in the air. But, you know, my heart goes out to, you know, all the families affected by this and everyone around the world that has, you know, sent their condolences as well, you know. It's a shame, like you said, that we have to live in a world and a society that, you know, people feel like they have to do these type of things and bring this type of media attention to, you know, the way the world is nowadays. You know, it's just, it's sickening, but, you know, this is the world that we are in now.
Yep. And I guess in conclusion, what I'll say about that subject is that let's hope someday that the reason to do this kind of stuff is eliminated. I don't know if it is possible, but being the dreamer that I am, Corey, I just hope it. I hope there is hope that senseless murder can end. But, you know, reality is what reality is.
I mean, we all say reality, but, you know, we create our own reality, and it takes uniting with each other as humans to actually make a difference. You know, a lot of us talk, but not a lot of us do, you know, and I think it's time to take that same approach that Nike says, and let's just do it, you know. We are the ones that make this world go round, so I believe it's time for us to start standing up for what we believe in as a group of people, not just individuals speaking their own opinions.
Don't you think it's also important that we also take the time to listen to other people's opinions and views?
Definitely, that's definitely why God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we talk.
You're right about that, let me tell you. Okay, Corey, yeah. how are things going with you? I see that you've expanded, and as promised when I was in Florida. And by the way, I still apologize for the poor situation that we had going on in Florida. It was like a nightmare in Florida I shouldn't even have tried to do this show, but out of respect for you and a few of my friends that organized you getting on, I didn't want to disappoint anyone. So, but anyway, you were a real trooper that day and very patient, and I really appreciate it.
That's no problem. Like I said, man, I'm here to, you know, help out and you know, do the best that I can to, you know, bring awareness to whatever it is that we need to bring awareness to. You know, my heart is here for you, and I know the same is on the table.
Absolutely, sir. That is exactly what it's all about. So to you, life is a journey, and that journey is something that takes us where it wants to take us, but we must control which direction it goes in, if I understand your theory correctly.
Yeah, I see that you read a little bit on the blogs and you see what's going on in life. But yeah, definitely, you know, our destinies now are in our hands, you know, and that's one thing that I think we've allowed, you know, our daily struggles and our daily, you know, our daily problems and issues control our lives. You know, it's more so working together and helping yourselves and helping those around you become better. And, you know, that's where my philosophy comes from, is just, you know, linking with a lot of people and hearing their views on life and helping me put my structure together as far as me being a man and how I view life. And, you know, the more that I learn, the more wisdom that I gain, I'm able to reach out and, you know, talk to other people and help other people get through their times like this.
And the most important thing to remember, that life is full of ups and downs, right?
It definitely is, and you can't count them all on your hand. You know, sometimes you might have more ups than you have downs. You might have more downs than you have ups, but the thing is not how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get back up. That's where your strength in winning in your success lies.
What do you think are some of the toughest downs and the best solutions to turn those downs into ups?
I believe getting over yourself, you know, self-pity. You know, a lot of us now, we have great goals, great desires, and along with those great desires and, you know, the thoughts that we have, you know, there has to be something that combats with that, something that wants to draw you away from, you know, reaching your full level of success. And if we could actually understand those adversaries and those things that come up against us at times, it'd be a lot easier for us to maneuver through life.
Those challenges that do crop up, I think the biggest problem for me is I have my own issues, and you hit the nail on the head where self-pity is my biggest problem, and that seems to be the biggest thing I have to overcome. It's really hard. I mean, how do you, you know, in my experience, I'm trying to be honest with you here, Corey. In my experience, the difficulty I have is I try to get a leg up on life, and it seems every time I make an attempt, I get undercut. How do people like me overcome the adversity that seems to follow you every time you try to do something good and something positive?
For one, I always try to tell people, you have to know what your measure of success is, what is your true definition of success for you in your life, you know, and not try to live in the aspect of what the world wants you to see success is. You know, each day that you work towards, you know, a worthy goal, that is success. You know, the true definition of success for me is the small sums of, you know, the sum of small effects working together for a worthy goal. So every day that you're working towards this goal, you're successful. But nobody tells us that, you know. All they tell us is our downfalls, and they try to steer us away from the goals that we're actually supposed to be on. But you have to be, that's where it becomes, you have to be a king and queens of your own self that you don't need the outside world to give you affirmation or confirmation that you're on the right path and that you're doing the right things. You should already have that inside of you. So when you feel like in yourself that you will, you know, let yourself down, you haven't really, because you're still working on that goal. Everybody has step backs, and those step backs are setting you up for a comeback. You feel me?
Yeah.
And that's everything that we do. We get knocked down, but we get knocked down to teach us a lesson. Either we can stay down and, like I said, become, you know, have a pity party for ourselves and nobody gets anything done, or you can stand up, take accountability, take responsibility, even if you're not even in the wrong. You take it and you take it as a learning lesson to say, hey, you know what, when this next opportunity or this next thing hit me, I already have the answers because I've meditated on it myself, and I've had great self-reflection on myself that I know I'm greater than what this situation is showing me.
Yeah, it sounds like a saying. I don't know where I picked it up, and I don't think I invented it in my own head. I think I picked it up somewhere. Failure is an opportunity for a fear of failure is an opportunity for success.
Mm, powerful, very powerful.
So, you know, I think that's what you're trying to say, right? Over, you know.
It's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Now, you know, Corey, you've met, you know, and just to get into the football a little bit, you've met some adversity. We've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've witnessed how 1 week everybody in the stands is your best friend. And then another week you come back wearing different colors. Now you're the enemy, and you're not held in the same kind of high esteem that you were the last time you were there. Is that something that was a learning experience for you? And maybe you could share with us the feelings that you had upon leaving and then coming back, and the reception that you received and how you turned that around.
To be honest with you, man, I'm still a little lost. I'm just now gathering myself and putting, you know, the ground back under my feet, you know. In this game, we all expect this game to always be here for us. And we always expect that because we put in that hard work and that, you know, that time, that we're going to be always rewarded the same way. It was just this year that I experienced a life lesson in adversity on a different level. And it was more so as a man rather than as an athlete, because this business teaches you how to be an athlete, but it never teaches you really how to be a man. And you have to find, like I say, who you are and what you stand for in the midst of your adversity. So when I got hit with those things this past season, I didn't know what to do, honestly, but I did know that I had to still be professional, still show the next generation that when adversity hits, you still smile, you still show up for work, you still be that team player. You still got to take it on the chin sometimes and say yes, sir, no, sir, and you have to be coachable. Your level of learning must not stop growing. And that's all I wanted to show people. Even though I was going through the adverse times, I knew that that too shall pass, that there was another season to come, that there will be another time that I will have a platform to express in the right manner and in the right way about my situation. And this is one of those plateaus, and this is one of those platforms, excuse me, where I have the opportunity to talk to my fans, that I have an opportunity that people can understand Corey Boyd, the person, not just Corey Boyd, CB3, the guy that's on the field playing on game day.
So the natural tendency for interpreted failure, and by interpreted I mean just because you're traded, or if I can take this to a different level and a different venue, which would be regular life, regular folks out there like me and those out there that are listening today, it's like being fired. And your suggestion is after you're fired, if I'm understanding you correctly, I'm basically saying the same thing as you. I'm trying to say the same thing as you, but in a different way. But here we go. When you're fired, you can't go to your new job thinking you're going to be fired or be affected by the fact that you were fired and whatever happened to you there. You have to go to the new place with a fresh attitude, a good positive attitude, and find as you call it, a platform for success that you're referring to, and that platform being your new job, your new life, and don't let what happened to you before affect you. And let your employers know who you are, not the guy that failed that got fired, whether they know or not.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. you never go into a new situation with old baggage.
Absolutely.
You know, you'll end up with the same result, you know. New beginnings bring, you know, new ideas, new surroundings, new environment. So why would you want to bring the old you that has hit a certain level and couldn't go no further? God just opened up another door for you to advance yourself as the king and the queen that you are in life. That one job that you may be fired at, man, they probably did you the best thing ever in your life. They opened up another door for you to move up into the next part of who you're supposed to be.
Well, maybe in fairness and in defense of people like that, or in a way to explain, maybe it's the only person they know, Corey.
That is true.
Right? Maybe it's the only person they know. So I guess they got to figure out a way to get to know or to change that old person. I hate to say this, teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you know, just try to improve, try to learn from the lesson. You referred to it as a new platform. Let's say, you know, it's like you 2.0 as opposed to 1.0. You have to take what comes at you and try to learn from it. And let me tell you this, it is so easy for me to listen to you and to talk to you about this. It seems so simple, and I want to send this message to those of you out there who go, it sounds so wonderful, it sounds so easy. But why? Why, oh, why can't I do it? Why can't I change? And that's the hard part, is changing those things you referred to that create the same result. That's the hard part, Corey, is changing. Advice for...
I don't mean to interrupt, but...
No, it's okay.
One thing that we need to learn is that we live in a changing world. You are not the same person that you were when you were 10 years old. You're not the same person that you were 20 years old, and so forth, so on. So one thing, that's why I say you have to, even though I say it's easy, it's a choice. Every day, everything that we do starts with a choice, and that's one of the greatest things that God has given us, is the ability to have a choice. And every day we wake up, we can say, you know what, I can choose to go out and go full throttle towards my dream and what my vision of success is, or I can choose to look at all the obstacles and all the adversities and all the problems and say, you know what, I can't do it. So you talk yourself out of it. It's a mental thing. You talk yourself out of it. The world is going to show you already that you're not supposed to be able to do it, but you're supposed to be strong enough in yourself to say, you know what, I am more than a conqueror. This is my choice, that I'm going to stand on my own two feet and battle up against the world that is going to tell me that I can't accomplish these goals because they don't understand my goals. They don't understand my desires. So that's where it is. It starts always with your choice. If you can choose to be successful, then you are successful. If you choose to allow your problems to bother you, then you're going to be a bothered person.
So in other words, and I want people to understand this, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that misunderstand your reference to yourself or your definition of yourself as king. For the listeners out there, I'm going to put words in Corey's mouth. I think, and you tell me whether this is correct or not, it's more about being the king of yourself and the queen of yourself.
Yes, definitely. You know, and that takes a lot.
It has nothing to do with you ruling over anybody.
It has nothing. That's why I always try to tell people, like, it's amazing how, you know, you say King Boyd. To some people that may sound cocky, that may sound arrogant, but what I want people to understand is you are a king of your own self. You have your own domain at your own home, that you are probably the head of the household, that you have other people that are in your household that you know. You are the person that runs everything. If you don't get things going, they don't get their day going. So why wouldn't you consider yourself to be a king or a queen? Why would you just consider yourself to be an ordinary person? None of us are really ordinary in life. God has blessed us all with great abilities to make us kings, to make us those that royalty. And as we continue to bring people into our circle of who we are, they are part of your kingdom. And you keep building. And the more people that you allow in that tear you down, you're tearing up your build. You're tearing up your kingdom. You're tearing up who you are.
I guess it's another way. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Corey. I guess it's another way of saying that you're the master of your own community, your inner community.
You're the master of your own destiny.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Manifest your own destiny.
What a great idea that is. wonder. Okay, I've got a. We're going to take a short break, if you don't mind, for a minute, Corey. We'll both take a breath and you know reset ourselves. We'll be back in another minute. Another person that I have faith in as well. I'll play a little word from him. I believe in me, and it's important that we believe in ourselves. Today, more than any other day, is when you can doubt not just yourself but the world around you. Tonight, we're all probably thinking how rotten the world is. Well, you know, this is just another experience in life that teaches us that there's bad in the world. But we can control it. It just takes a little belief. Maybe we can believe in each other, and it starts, like Corey says, in believing in yourself. And this is I Believe in Me, a little forward statement from a friend of mine.
I'm Quincy Hart, and I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student and that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate from college. That individual that's unemployed will find a job or create work for themselves. I believe in me. Therefore, I have the confidence to believe in you. I believe that you will help me fulfill my desires according to the younger generation. They label Generation X. Teach them the self-confidence they need to become Generation Excellent. I believe in me. I believe in you. Join me on this mission.
That's I Believe in Me, Quincy T. Carter. It's a website. I believe in me, and that's not in me, but I believe in me, E1440, which are how many minutes there are in a day and how long you need to believe in yourself. Well, we're with Corey Boyd. Corey Boyd, former Argonaut, former Edmonton Eskimo, fantastic running back, a renaissance man, if you will, a gentleman who has looked at life and its challenges. You know, he is one of many, I've stated on this program many times that football players more than any other sport come from places that could breed failure, but football has helped them hand in hand with their own desire and their own ability to be teammates, not only on the field, but in life as well. And they've helped to raise each other. And Corey Boyd is just one of those guys that, believes that we can raise each other. And today we're talking about that on a very special day when a very sad thing happened in Boston, the marathon, 3 people dead, 142 some odd people injured. It could be looked at as a negative thing in life, and we'd like to turn that around and make it a little positive. And the only way to do that is to remember that through bad, maybe we can find some good, you know, and remember that these people were innocents, and let's care about the people who are left behind as well and remember that they're going through a very tough time. And this is one thing that we can do as human beings, and that is help each other. For those of you that know those that are injured, I know a few people. My daughter, for example, a coworker, her father was in that race. He was at the Boston Marathon. He made it across the line just before it happened. So, you know, fate is a strange thing. You know, and, you know, Corey, that's the amazing thing about life. You know, a simple little thing that's taken away from you or that has nothing to do with you can change your life completely, can't it?
Yes, it can, and that's the world we live in right now, man. And it's just, you know, I know Drake has this YOLO thing, you only live once, but let's look at that in a positive way. If we only live once, let's gather and help one another, you know, open up new patterns in our brains so that we don't have to go out here and feel like we have to still kill and destroy from one another. It's sickening, man. Let's think of all of the great things that can happen if we unite and make this world a lot of better place and a much safer place, you know, for our kids to grow and the next generations to grow.
And let's reassure everyone around us that these misguided people will not decide the way we live. Or how we feel about it, living.
We cannot live in fear. We cannot live in fear, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot live in fear. We must live in love, peace, and joy. Can't live out of fear.
And it doesn't take much to overcome it. You know, it's just a matter of supporting each other. And, you know, I would suggest to anybody looking around you, there will be people who are affected deeply by what happened. I'm one of those. I'm very, you know... Corey, I came very close to just not doing the show tonight because it causes, death has an effect on me that for the past few years because of an incident I went through, death reaches inside me and twists my insides and especially when it's senseless, you know, not that, I don't know if there's even a reason for people to die. You know, only God determines when people should die. I don't think anybody else should.
And I believe that too, sir. I truly believe that.
You know, that's what makes it so hard. When human beings decide to take other people's lives, it's senseless. It never makes sense. It's always about anger, uncontrolled anger. It's always about misguided ideas, and a real loss of self-worth. You know, I don't think anybody who kills anybody has value for themselves. In all honesty, that's what I believe in my heart. I believe that anyone who kills does not have love in their heart for themselves. I don't mean about others, for themselves.
You are so right on that. And just to piggyback on that, you know, that's what runs the world is love. Loving one another, having peace with one another. That's what we all strive for every day. Every day that we all wake up, we want to be loved. We want to have peace at our jobs and in our careers. You know, we want to have joy in watching, you know, society grow and to watch our generations grow and our kids grow. So why would we put, you know, death in between that? Why would we put bodily harm in between that? You know, that doesn't breed anything. That doesn't breed anything that is positive in today's society. We need to really sit back and take a big look at, you know, the value of life itself, you know, and as we see those things, you know, be revealed to us, you know, that's where we find our love, self-worth. You know, if you can find that love inside of yourself through all the things that you've ever experienced and ever seen, you know, that can help another person because that is your testimony of learning about love, learning about peace, and learning about joy. All we share nowadays is our anger, our pain, our frustration, our loneliness. You know,
our greed.
Yes. You know, let's share something that has substance to it. Let's share something that's going to help us get better as human beings. You know.
Okay, before we start singing Kumbaya, maybe. Now, Corey, I love having these conversations with you and others because sometimes I wish people could you know, anger is something that has us all, and it you know, at some point it tries to control us, and it's a question of how we, you know, the one thing I've conquered in my condition is anger. I don't have the kind of anger I used to have. That doesn't mean I don't get angry. It just means that I don't have the same kind of deep-seated, knee-jerk reaction to anger. Because anger is the absence of thought, in my opinion. When you're not thinking, that's when you're angry. When you're thinking, if you're thinking, you don't get angry. So here you are. You're in your prime, man. When it comes to football, King Corey, but I was going to call you Sir Corey Boyd. Sir Corey Boyd is in his physical peak. How are things going in your preparation and in your continuation of your CFL or football career? Where are we there?
Oh, right now, you know, I just got finished, you know, incorporating my business, my mentoring and sports fitness business. So I'm always working out. I'm always reaching out to kids to teach them about their bodies and, you know, having the right nutrition in, you know, going on with you and putting that right training. Everybody can lift, but, you know, it takes a great athlete to train, you know, and that's what I've been doing. I've been training my mind, training my spirit, and training my body, you know, to be prepared for whatever comes. You know, if I never get another shot to play ball again, you know, I still have my business that I'm working, and I'm learning about being a businessman. And if it does pop off, you know, I'll definitely be the same Corey Boyd, or even greater, because of my mental state, because of the things that I've been through, that I can actually still step out there and contribute to a team. You know, like I said, I was cut at my peak. I'm still at my peak right now. I'm at my prime. And all it takes is another opportunity, you know, and I have to I have to patiently wait, you know. I've been through the fire. Now it's time for me to come out of that fire, be polished, cool down, and turn it up when the season comes for whatever, you know, whatever team picks me up.
Help me understand how it works, you know, step by step. So now the next important date for you as a football player, not just Corey Boyd, as a football player, is June when the draft, just before June, because if they can't, then they'll start evaluating their total lineup, right?
Yeah, that would be, you know, exactly what's going on. You know, as I think there's a rule, or it may not be a rule, this might be the way teams operate, that, mm-hmm. you know, they don't really want to bring veterans in if you're not already on a team. Into mini camp, you know, players get hurt, you know, that salary is guaranteed once you're a veteran, a four-year veteran, excuse me. So, you know, I'm at that point right now where, you know, I might get overlooked by a younger guy who may come in and he might want to play for a less cost. And the team might not want to pay for a premier running back like myself at the price. You know, and I'm humble enough to say, you know, I would lower my price for my services to play on the team just because I love this game. And I want to show people that. I want to show a generation it's not about money. It should be about the love for the game. And that's something that I've always, you know, said I wanted to do, was let people know that I am more than just a number. I'm an athlete. I'm a player. And without players, there is no team.
Well, there's still going to be come next year. This year, right now, for Corey Boyd and the players like Corey Boyd, you know, receivers, everybody, other running backs, other players in the CFL who aren't hooked up on teams right now, we do know that the draft happens, and then, of course, the mini camp, and then they start evaluating what they have, and they start figuring out where they're weak. Then it becomes an opportunity for some players to get brought on. Premier, such as yourself, as you defined, you know, players with less experience, more experience, less expensive, more expensive. They start filling out their rosters, and then the preseason takes place, and then people get hurt in the preseason. They need a running back, another opportunity for Corey Boyd. So, you know, being a football player, there's always hope because, quite frankly, not that anybody's hoping anybody gets hurt. It is a physical game, and the result of physicality sometimes is injury. So, and then next year, the following year, Ottawa's, you got two more running backs more than usual because you'll have a whole new team. So
yeah,
at your age, you don't have any concerns, really, I don't think.
No,
I see you on the field again. I see you on the field again.
I see myself on the field, too. But, you know, I can't, you know, I'll wreck my brain since December when I was released, you know, I was always wondering what's next, where am I going to go. Like I said, I even contemplated retirement because the way the situation looked, it made me seem, you know, like I didn't have it left in me. But that's where I say I had to find, you know, that inner king, that inner young child that used to love this game, you know, just for at its purest stage, you know, I just wanted to play the game. And that's where I'm humble enough to say now I can take a pay cut. And whenever these teams are ready to look at Corey Boyd as a humble guy that, you know, he can go out there, contribute, be a team leader and help, man, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting on that, you know, and I can't be anxious. God told me don't be anxious for anything. So I'm going to just sit back. I mean, enjoy this time that I get to chill on the radio with you, the more into the community, you know, with my business, you know, making my brand, building it to be much greater than what it is, you know, reaching out to these kids. And now I'm really into, you know, what Corey Boyd's full potential and Corey Boyd's full purpose is in life. And football is just a key, you know, to open up a door to where my destiny really lies.
In other words, CB3 Performance Incorporated.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a bit about that. I think you already did. Basically, you were referring to it earlier about helping youngsters with diet, exercise, and basically claiming their full potential.
Yeah, you know, it's a business that I've been working on for the past year and a half, realizing that I had a certain stardom to me, that I had a certain voice that could reach a lot of people in this country. That's why I stayed here. You know, I was blessed with the opportunity to have certain visions, you know, to help a community, you know, and help a sport grow in a different country. You know, the NFL has great opportunities for kids to see, follow, and be a part of football in that community, in their communities. But I found it that in Canada, a lot of kids gravitate towards hockey. But there's a small circle of a young group of guys who want to play in the NFL, who want to play in the CFL. And I feel like with the expertise and the certifications that I have, that is my door to, you know, getting to these kids, opening up to these kids. So what I tried to do is I tried to figure out how can I make a difference not only in their developmental growth in their bodies, but also in their mental. And that's where the mentoring and the sports fitness came in. And we've been working together right now. I have about 5 or 6 young gentlemen who are committed to a 6-week program. And that program consists of working out 3 to 4 times a week. We do community service out in the community, which we will be doing this Saturday, might I say. We linked up with a group, another company called Four Reasons Incorporation. We're also working with this week at Lawrence Heights Community Center at Saturday, 10 a.m.
My old stomping grounds, Dufferin and Lawrence.
Yep, exactly. We have a Toronto Cleanup Day. That's something that I definitely wanted my youngsters to understand is to get out there. Let the older generations and everyone see that our youth are definitely involved. You know, they're involved. And if we have the right structure, if they have the right structure, the right foundation, they can make a change now. Our generations can make a change now. It's their time to step up. We just have to show them that, you know, their value. And that's where we'll be this weekend is, like I said, at Lawrence Heights Community Center. And that'll be at 10 a.m. this Saturday, April 20th, 2013. And it's Toronto's cleanup day. You know, Mayor Ford is hopefully going to be out there. And it's his program. You know, it's something that, you know, people are reaching out to me to see how can I help. And I'm reaching out to people to see how I can help in this community.
Is there a contact phone number they can? Let me know after, and I'll post it after. The general location of where you're talking about is Allen Road and Lawrence Avenue West, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, I grew up in that neighborhood. In fact, at Lawrence Heights Junior High School, that's where I played football.
Okay.
I was a receiver, 4'3" receiver. Being covered by guys who were 5'1".
Oh,
no,
wow.
5'10", whatever. I was the small guy, Corey. I was the one, you know, it's funny, you know, you talk about stuff like this. I went to a reunion, and the guy was very happily bragging about the fact they used to love watching me get bullied.
Oh, man, that's, oh, no.
It never ends.
That is terrible.
Isn't it? And like, to say something like that to you, you know, somewhat 50 years later, 40 years later, it's unbelievable, but still, the people don't understand the damage bullying does to people. You know, it's pretty sad. And you know, and it's up to people like us. And when I say us, I mean me as a person who's been bullied, you as a person of fame, to, like, the CFL players are wonderful that way. You know, we've got lots. The CFL is deeply entrenched in being community service oriented. You're referring to the community service that you're doing. You know, within your business, you know, there aren't many businesses that get involved in community service. I'm sorry, but I hope I'm not offending the vast majority of businesses. But in my opinion, not many businesses do that. Not enough, in fact. A lot of businesses, sports franchises, congratulations. You're wonderful. All those companies that do that, thank you very much. The big corporations that do the photo ops and that kind of stuff, I give them a half thank you, because I wonder sometimes whether it's the photo op, not the help, that they're really going after. You know, there's a lot more that people can do in the business community for the children, you know, in our community, because there are a lot of children who, with a little bit of guidance, will have a far better life and be less of a problem down the road. Would you agree or say it differently?
I totally agree. You know? And that's where where society is now, and that's the next blog that I'm putting up. What truly matters? You know, what truly matters in the world today? Is it the money that you're making, or is it the value of a person's life? And that's just a question I just like to leave out there for, you know, the listeners and the viewers that come in. You know, what truly matters? What truly matters in life today? Ask ourselves that. And as you ask yourself that, you'll have a complete answer of who you are and what you stand for.
I have another question I'd like to ask the same people that you're talking to. What do you really need? What do you really need? Not what you want. What do you really need? You know, a lot of people just jump to the what I want, not the what I need. And I think that's the biggest the biggest thing that we as human beings, I think, have to overcome. We suffer from that what I want, what I want, what I want. And we let our children grow up, you know, for those of us that have the ability to give our children some stuff, some more, some less, some too much, or have the opportunity to give too much, you know, to say to their children and to teach their children, what do they really need? What do you really need? You know, not what you want, what you really need. Because we all know what they need. Because what they want is left lying around rotting in a corner somewhere, you know? So it's not hard to figure out what you need. What you need is the stuff that you care about most, like Corey is saying right now. What really matters? What really matters? What possessions, if I can call possessions as a good thing? There are some possessions that are good. My Stairmaster is a wonderful possession. I love it. I just got to get to using it. That's my problem.
Oh, man, you are something else. Don't beat yourself down so much, man.
Why not? Somebody has to. Yeah, you know, Corey, it's always a pleasure, you know, talking to you. Let's talk about football. And did you watch any of the football, any of the playoffs? Did you follow anything the Argos did or any of the other teams? Well, Edmonton played Toronto, and that was their last game. Did you follow it at all?
Oh, definitely. You know, I was here. You know, it was no escaping it. You know, I wanted to see how far Toronto was going to go in an optimistic eye. You know, I knew that, like I said early in the year, that team was bound for greatness. They had all the pieces in place. And even though I was playing over in the West, I was always keeping an eye on the East. I love Toronto. I don't care what anybody says. I love Toronto. And I had to watch to see where my guys were going to go, you know. And as they got that momentum, I was like, wow, nobody's stopping them. It gave me a reflection of what Montreal used to look like.
When did you think, what was that monumental momentum moment in your mind? What game, what play?
That I knew?
Yeah, that you really felt this is a team of, if I can use the overused phrase, destiny.
let's say, it had nothing to do with being on the field. It was the preparation. The preparation as far as coming together as a team in the weight room, something that my first 2 years being with the Toronto Argonauts, we did not have. We did not see that. You know, coming together, doing yoga as a team, you know, with Jenna. It's called yoga. You know, and once I saw the turnout, when you didn't have to be there, no one forced you to be there, everyone just showed up because they knew that that team would be, it would have been great, you know, if they came together. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And that made me feel warm inside because I know somewhere in there I helped plant a seed for that to grow. And I loved it. I just felt like I was a part of it. I felt like I won the championship with them, even when I was with another team.
And you know what? I can actually understand what you're saying. And I love trying to pick your brain and also try to steal some of your thoughts before they come out. And here's a thought I'm going to try. The team, even though the team let you go, in your departure, there was a momentum, not a momentum, but there was a, like for example, with Chad Kackert, there was an opportunity to fill that void by Boyd and create the vacuum when you left was a great opportunity for a young player like him and for the team to prove that they could do it, not in spite of you, but because of you.
Hey, however it went, man, I'm just grateful for him. And that young man, Chad, has been through so much, you know, being behind me and being criticized for, you know, some of the mistakes that he made early on in his career. And he hushed all the naysayers, you know. You just all the naysayers, and I told him when I left, I said, man, whatever you get, you deserve it, man. So he took that to heart, and he went out there, and he earned more. You know, being an MVP of a Grey Cup, they can never take that from him, you know. Him winning the Grey Cup on that team, they can never take that from him. So, you know, I look up to him. If I never told him, if he's listening, I look up to him, you know, because he handled his situation like a pro, like the pro that he is, like the pro that I knew he could be, you know.
Yeah, he sure was.
Sometimes the mentor becomes the mentee, you know.
So yeah, and you know what? Sometimes the faith that he felt was a wonderful motivator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something, you know, when people believe in you. And like you said, because there was a time when Jim Barker, if I remember correctly, there was a time when Kackert had a bad habit of fumbling balls, and he fumbled a couple at the goal line. And Barker said, "You keep doing that, you're not coming back." And I think it really struck a chord in Chad Kackert and motivated him to work really hard to show that he could play without making those simple mistakes. And I joked with him about his size. I wish I hadn't of when I was interviewing him. And I don't mind saying it now because I'm getting an opportunity to explain what I was trying to say. And I think you know me well enough to know that he has taken what God gave him and used it to its full potential. And I wanted to suggest, and what I am suggesting is, here's a guy that if you look at him on the street. And, Corey, you don't have to agree with me. I'm not looking for you to agree with me. But if you look at him on the street and someone says, yeah, that's the guy who was the MVP of the Grey Cup last year, how many people do you think of a crowd of 50 would believe that's actually true?
Small amount.
you know what I mean? And that is the beauty of Chad Kackert, and that's the beauty of his soul. Because, mm-hmm. really, the inside of him outgrew the outside of him. And we talk about, you know, players with big hearts like yourself. You all have, you know, the greatest talented players. They have giant hearts inside no matter what size their body is. That heart can't stop you. And I admire, like you, I admire him too. And to me, he's a hero as well. And, you know, Chad, if you're listening, I sure didn't mean the remark about you being short as a negative. I'm sorry if it came out that way. But this is exactly what I mean.
Big things come in small packages.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Example, flying Hawaiian.
Yeah, I mean, look at what he did last week. He was in an MMA fight, never fought MMA, you know, spent mm-hmm. one off season learning about it, being trained to do it, then participated and made an undisputed winner out of himself in a sport that he knew very little about.
It's something about them Chads, isn't it?
No kidding. We got a lot of hanging Chads on the Argos, yes. Yeah, Mighty Mouse, he's referring to himself as Mighty Mouse now. I'm trying to remember, who was the other Mighty Mouse with the Argos? There was another Mighty Mouse, or was Mighty Mouse another sport, another team? There was a small, wasn't it a basketball player maybe? No, doesn't matter. I don't remember exactly, but you know, I used to watch Mighty Mouse as a kid, and Mighty Mouse was a pretty ferocious fighter, and you know, he could take on all competitors. So you feel good about your opportunities to get back in the CFL. I feel good about them as well. To us, it's only a matter of time. And obviously, your preference is to play for Toronto. Unfortunately, they're probably full at that position. You know, I'm not asking you where you want to play, but do you think you've, you know, Corey, you've been given some bad press. Like, people have really misunderstood you, I'm going to say. You know, they mistake your confidence in yourself as almost, like you said, cockiness. Do you think there's a way that you can communicate and get that message out? Have you learned something about how maybe to, you know, display who you are in a manner that doesn't allow people to be confused that way or misunderstand your personality?
Every day I'm looking to better myself. If I listen to what everyone had to say about me, I would be diluting myself. I'm always going to have confidence in myself. I'm always going to be overconfident about myself because I know the hard work, the dedication, each and every day that I wake up, each tear that I cry, I know what it stands for. And the opportunity that I get to step out on the field or step out in front of 20 to 30,000 people, that's my time right there to showcase all that I am. And if you're going to judge me, you know, judge me for my works. Judge me for what I do. Judge me for how I interact with my fans and I'm in the community. Please don't forget about what I've done, the foundation and the seeds that I've planted. You are my water that grows, that helped me grow. So I don't worry about, you know, how am I supposed to change what everybody's perception of me is. I just got to keep fighting on being me. Because for every 10 people that don't like Corey Boyd, there's going to be another 30 to 50 that will love what I am and love who I am and love what I do. So I love all my haters. I love all my doubters. I love all who question about who Corey Boyd is. Because the more I have an opportunity and the more I have a platform to show who I am, I'm going to give you the best in all of me, all of my heart. And I pray that you can respect that. And if you can't, that is okay with me because I still keep growing and I'm going to still keep showing you love.
Corey, what about – here's another tough question, you know. And you know I love you, right? And this is a tough question I have to ask you. One of the big problems that, again, was the fact that the playbook. Do you feel that you were dedicated enough to the playbook and, you know, in acting out all the plays in the playbook? And do you see maybe that you want to make sure that – you get the message out there that you'll respect the playbook, whatever that playbook is, and perform, you know, in the game based on that playbook? Or is that an unfair question on my part?
I mean, I can't tell you what's fair and what's unfair. I can only answer whatever it is that you throw out to me. I've never had a problem with learning a playbook. That was never the issue, you know. The issue that was going on was, you know, they had a different route. Like I said, you know, may it have been finances, may it have been a different type of running back or style that they were trying to implement in their offense. That leads to, you know, different changes. You know, my level and my approach to this game, no one can tell me that I don't prepare for this game. You know, I put out videos, documentaries to show people what it is and what it takes to be a professional athlete. And I don't lack in that, you know. One thing I do know that I need to work on is to learn to be able to be coached a little more. You know, I've been my own biggest critic and my own worst critic for so long because no one took the time to sit down and actually learn who Corey Boyd was, it was always, you know what, you got to show and prove. And when I showed and proved that I was a great athlete, no one expected me to fail. No one expected me to have flaws. They always expected me to be perfect. They always expected me to make the big play. But what happens when I no longer have the answer? What happens when I no longer have that strength? Who is there to pick me up? Who is there to guide me? Who is there to give me that voice of reasoning? No one ever really wanted to. So therefore, my level of learning, it hit a plateau. So now I need to be on a team now I need the opportunity to be on a team to showcase that I've allowed this situation of last season to help me grow, to help humble me, to help me realize that I don't have all the answers and I do need help. And not just from a coach, but from a team, from leaders, you know. And I'm man enough to sit and say that I have those flaws. And I ask that if you know me, you see me in the streets, if you got a word of advice, I would love to give it. I would love to hear it.
Well, you're stuck with me now, and I'm a very opinionated guy, so you know you're going to get a lot of opinion from me.
Oh, I love
I'll be calling you on a daily basis, making sure that
that sounds good.
Make sure that you understand what I saw. And nah, you know what, Corey? You're a gentleman, and I truly enjoy talking, and I enjoy being your friend, and I'm asking some tough questions because these are the kinds of questions that everyone needs to answer at some point in their life, and sometimes more often than once, right? I mean, we all have to move on and learn. So in essence, the message I'm hearing is that Corey Boyd is ready to listen, and he's ready to take advice. Because in his own mind, he's realized that, you know, maybe all the stuff that you've done till now was based on natural talent. And now you want to move on to the next plateau. And I assume win a Grey Cup. And to do that, you want to play again. And you've realized to do that as well, you need to take the great athlete that Corey Boyd is. And with the help and the patience and guidance of either the players on the team or the new coach, new team, that you're hoping to take that next level of being more than just a premier football player, but a champion.
Exactly. When Toronto received me, I was a young man still learning how to be a professional athlete. The next team that receives me will receive a man who has overcome adversity, who is still willing to learn, who's still a successful person on and off the field, and a person who is willing to learn and to help others learn. Continue to learn, excuse me. Continue being the key word. Because if you just say learn, that means you never learned a thing in your life and you're just coming to it. So I want to continue these things.
And I know you will, my friend. I truly
Amen
do.
To that. Amen you know, to that.
you know, Corey, there's... Do you watch, you're a big Toronto fan, so now I'm going to take you out of your element. Are you ready? By the way, folks, none of this stuff, Corey and I don't talk about what we're going to talk about. It all just happens, trust me. And if you know me at all, it's the way it works. Everything's just right, like, you know, there's no phoniness. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I don't like phony people. Phony people make me nervous. I just don't like them too much. I love people who are willing to make a mistake because they're being honest. You know, and Corey, I admire that about you because, you know, there's never been a moment where we've said, you know, maybe we should talk about this. That's never happened. So now I'm going to take you outside your element. So you're a Toronto lover. You love the city of Toronto.
Talk to me.
Okay. What's your place to go. What are your favorite places to go in Toronto for your own amusement and entertainment? Let's say
Canaro Bread.
Panera Bread?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I know.
Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
Talk to me.
Are you ready for this? My daughter is one of the first people they hired here in Toronto for Panera Bread.
Wow.
She is a managing baker now at Panera Bread. And my other daughter, when she walks into the store, she's the boss. And she's just barely 20. She's
wow,
only 19.
So,
yeah, I'm very proud of my girls. Panera Bread is a great thing. We'll have to go in there for coffee together. I'll introduce you to the owner.
I would love to. That's a place where I love to sit down, and you get to just, you know, see so many people. You interact and you link with so many people, and you're networking, and, you know, you're getting work done. And it's just one of those spots where you feel like you can just let everything just, let the world just take a time out.
Well, listen, I don't have any sponsors. So here's what I'll tell you about Panera Bread, folks. You sit down at the table. It's a very new style. Their food is very carefully made with ingredients, and they're very big in the United States. And wherever you sit, you have the internet, so it's like an internet cafe, and you can actually. It's just a nice environment, isn't it? And the food is just amazing. The bread is outstanding.
Oh, yes, it is. The bread bowl. Oh, broccoli cheddar. Oh, broccoli cheddar. It's just on my mind right now.
Dude, we're going to go there tomorrow. You're making me crazy. We're going there tomorrow.
would you believe that I go there every single day?
You know what? Which one do you go to?
I go to the one right here in Square One.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. The one square, okay. That's
Mississauga,
the first one. That's one of the first ones, if not the first one. That's where all the kids that work at all the Paneras now that are opening one at a time, they're spreading out like crazy. That's where they train, and
mm-hmm.
and they go to the other stores. Yeah, that's the original store, if I'm not mistaken.
If it is, I love to be a part of the original things that happen.
Oh, dude. I'll hook you up with the owner, and we'll go have I'll tell him you're a big fan and see what he says.
That sounds good. He might be a sponsor for CB3 Incorporated.
There you go. I was thinking of having him a sponsor for this show.
Hey, let's put it all together, you know? Like let's work together. Like you said, unity, we can get things done.
Okay, and we'll call our company Ebony and Ivory. I'll let you figure out which one you are.
Okay, it don't matter. Long as they call it or something.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm not Ivory because I'm Italian. So we're kind of between both Ebony and Ivory. We're sort of a mix of Ebony and Ivory, as you may very well know.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Have a spin-off.
That is funny that you would say that, Corey. I mean, I'm just floored by that. I truly, truly am floored by the fact that, you know, my kids, I'm so fortunate. And, you know, in life, the one thing that you want, you know, do you have children, Corey?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, I have children. I have four daughters. And the biggest thing I worry about, it's really the only thing I worry about my children. Two things, actually. When
Boys.
It comes Yeah, well, that, you know what? I've realized early there's no point to discussing that. So my concern with the only things I concern myself with my daughters, number one is their safety. Number two is their future.
Yes.
And the third and final thing is their happiness. And I tell them, and they'll tell you, I tell them all the time that you're responsible for your happiness. I can't make you happy. But I'm there for you to make sure you're safe, and I'm there to live your dreams. That's all that being a parent to me is. I'll tell you, since the incident that I was involved in that has caused my condition, I've simplified my relationship with my children, and I'm grateful for that. It's the one good thing that came from it. I've uncomplicated my relationship with my children. And, you know, they're my real legacy. They're what's really important. The rest,
and that's what we said earlier. What really matters?
Absolutely, and that's what really matters. So you know, I'm very grateful that God has been kind enough. Oops, I promised myself I wouldn't say that stuff. I'm grateful that life has been kind enough to me and given my children an opportunity to be successful in school. You know, I'm going to say a joke here, and people can call me a racist if they want. But in her school, she had the highest math mark, and I asked her, "Are you sure you're not Asian?"
Wow.
You know, because I just found it unusual. So she did really well, and I'm proud of my children. They're the reason why I'm still alive today. Because I really don't think I'd be alive today if it wasn't for them. But then again, you know, it is what it is. Now, Corey, at this point, when do you think you're going to start a family? Are you interested in a family?
Oh man, I'm gonna leave that one alone right now, man. I'm not going to let too many people into my personal life on that level, you know. I would love to have kids right now. Like I said, I'm a growing man myself, so whenever God blesses me with that or life blesses me with that opportunity, I would take it in full stride, and I would definitely be the best father that I can be and be supportive, loving, and caring as much as I know a father and a parent is supposed to be. So I'm looking forward to it, you know.
Well,
I have a lot of life left.
I have four daughters, and I didn't start till I was 33. And I don't mind discussing history. And the history is that I didn't get married till late in life and didn't start having children till late in life. And I kind of wish I had them sooner. And my advice to people out there and my advice to you, Corey, is children are quite the motivator. They do consume all your time, and you're right to think that, if that's the reason why you don't. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but or anyone else's for that matter. But you know what? I truly find that they are a wonderful motivator, and they're the reason why I straightened my life out when I did. Not that it was that bent or crooked. Just, you know, they're just a calming influence on your excited, you know, I don't know, you know, like your nerve endings. I don't know how to explain it. But regardless, anyway. So, yeah, no, whenever that happens, I wish you the best in that. I know that relationships nowadays are difficult. I can't imagine how difficult relationships are as a football player, especially a famous football player. It must be really difficult. Like, you know, those of us, if I can be a man for a moment, you know, most men would love to be a pro football player. And I don't have to get into the details of it. Is it all that it's cracked up to be? Is it worthwhile? You know, I want you to, you got to understand something. Corey, I want you to lie. I want you to say no.
Overrated.
Thank
it's
you.
Overrated.
That's all I wanted to hear.
It's overrated. Once again, it is overrated, and all I got to say, it is overrated. Be yourself. If you were raised in a good home, knowing what it takes to, you know, be a good man, have a good woman by your side, take care of the household, it's overrated. If you're a guy that, you know, always wanted to be around and party and, you know, live that type of lifestyle, that's who you're going to be. You're not going to have a long career, but, you know, you got to find out what's important, what matters to you, you know.
And building a future. Because some players, and I'm not here to rag on or to insult, you know, any kind of athlete, but we both know that there are some athletes who waste such a golden opportunity to get a jump start in their, you know, in their 40s because of what they did in their 20s and early 30s. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And there's, you know, and that's a message that I guess, you know, that a lot of football players, a lot of athletes, never mind football players, a lot of them have to get that message. We hear the odd time about athletes who, after making all kinds of money in their 40s, they're broke and destitute. And that's a sad story. That is the saddest of sad stories, because for me, they were given a golden opportunity, literally a golden ticket, and wasted it. And I find that sad.
I wouldn't say they wasted it. I just say they, you know, they didn't have the right supporting cast around them to help them continue to keep growing, you know. A lot of people, they eat off you. They eat off of you. And while you're eating, you eat when it's good. You don't worry about the problems until it's gone.
The hangers-on you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Those fair-weather friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a few of those. Yeah, but you know what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said there definitely are, you know, some wolves in sheep's
clothing. Is it that difficult to know who they are? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have no idea what you're, well, I only had one experience, okay, of fame in my life. It happened for a very short time. And, you know, it's hard to understand what it's like when the world is at your feet and how hard it is to understand that it's not going to be forever. It's very difficult for many people. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And
that's why I lock myself away.
Well,
so I just away from it.
So when are you taking me out for dinner? No, just kidding. That was just when's the next, you know, I have short arms and deep pockets. It's a combination that has kept me in the green, if you know what I mean.
Okay. I was told it's okay to be a little shrewd with your money here and there. You know, Granny taught me a lot of life lessons about that money. So you know,
yeah, money is fleeting, and it really isn't that important. Unless you make it unimportant, you know what I mean? Like money is something that gets you, if it can get you what you need, you're lucky. You know, if you have enough money to get what you need, you're very lucky. You know, and that doesn't mean that you can't make a lot of money. And like, for example, I like what you're doing with the money that you've earned. You're starting your own business. And as I said, you know, some players don't look into the future. And I find in the CFL, a lot of players are, you don't hear too many stories about guys abusing money because it really doesn't get thrown around that much. You know what I mean? A lot of the guys are living real lives, not the kind of lives that maybe, you know, the bright lights would indicate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I love Canada.
Oh, really? Well, that's nice. Well, we love you too.
Oh, well, thank you.
It is. I asked you three places. We talked about Panera's and I got sidetracked. So I know where you like to eat and to chill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? What do you like doing? You know, are you the kind of person that likes to go to parks or any other things that you do? So you're basically exercise.
I was just about to say that. I like that. Like, anytime I get a chance to get downtown Toronto, I just love to walk the streets. Period. I'll walk the streets and get lost because once I find out where the needle is, I'm good. The CN Tower, once I know where that is, I know exactly where I am. So yep. I walk around, I just get lost down there. That's fun. That's fun to me. It reminds me of New Jersey and New York and big cities that I've been to. I just like to get lost in it.
Yeah, so you like the community. Now let's talk. Now here, I said it was going to make it difficult, so here we go. Let's talk about the other sports teams in the city. Any of them garner any attention from you?
Now you put me on the spot.
Yeah, I was trying. I wasn't going to give up until I got you. Until I sacked you.
I can't pick the Raptors only because I love Miami Heat.
What's not to love about the Miami Heat?
Oh, you know, you got to love King James. Gotta love the Kings. Gotta love King James, D Wade. And I know I'm not a big fan of Bosch, but I will give him his credit. But
D4.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Bosch, but I'll give him his credit. You know, I love the guy helping the team. Baseball, I can't really say the Jays because I grew up a Yankees fan.
So did I.
But I respect the organization. The Leafs. I don't know anything about hockey.
What?
I don't know anything about hockey. Well, all I know is Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, let me help
you. I'm serious.
Okay, let me help you out here. I'm going to help you out, all right? I'm going to give you a couple of quick lessons about hockey and about the Leafs at first. Okay.
Yes.
The Maple Leafs, you mentioned that you were a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Maple Leafs are like the Yankees before Steinbrenner bought the team.
Okay.
And you know what I'm talking about, right? I know you're not as old as I am. You're much younger. You're half my age. But Steinbrenner bought the team. The Yankees were in a lull. They weren't really winning any championships. Steinbrenner bought the team for like $28 million, if you can imagine that. The thing's worth like $1.5 billion now. And the Leafs are like that team. They have a wonderful fan base like the Yankees did back in the early 70s, you know, middle 70s.
Okay.
And the Leafs are exactly like that. They're a franchise that has many an adoring fan. They're the favorite franchise, the most expensive franchise, in fact, in hockey, in the National Hockey League. All right? They're the most expensive team. If you want to buy, they cost $1 billion. Their team costs $1 billion plus, $1.5, $1.6 billion. But that comes with the Raptors and the soccer team and the AHL team. But hockey, the game of hockey is a lot like Corey Boyd. It's a game that's in itself, it is a game that believes in itself and sometimes to its own detriment, okay? Because it believes in itself so much. Hockey believes in itself and the people who love the game of hockey. And it looks like this year might be the year, just like Corey Boyd. This year Corey says, I need to find some guidance from players or coaches. Hockey in Canada has been a devastating failure at the National Hockey League level the past few years. So now what we've got is we've got some resurgence from teams like Montreal, Toronto. Vancouver's been doing well. You know, Edmonton's on the cusp of becoming really good. So hockey in Canada, for the fans, is as exciting, if not more exciting, than it's been in many years. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing in a manner that they haven't played since 1993.
Okay.
All right.
But you have to take in the fact that they did start a little late now.
Yes.
And you know it throws off chemistry of the team.
Of all the teams, though, Corey, they're all starting.
Yeah.
Okay. Check this out, because I have you at a disadvantage. This is not a fair fight. This is like me and you on the field.
You know what I'm saying?
This is not fair. The conversation we're having isn't fair, and I'm enjoying it. Because I'm beating Corey.
I'm beating Corey Boyd.
The only thing I'm going to beat him at.
How about you take me to a hockey game, and for the first time ever, that'll be my first time ever going to a hockey game, and you can sit down and you can teach me the game of hockey.
I'd be glad to. But you know
what? That sounds like a deal.
It sounds like a deal, but I don't know if I can afford the tickets, my friend.
Listen, we could find a way. We could definitely find a way.
Okay, we'll have to find a way. And what I'll say about hockey is it's a game like football, all right? It's a game like football because there's contact, right? And just like you, all of them are like running backs. Because the objective is to not get hit and to carry the puck into the end zone and then deposit it in the end zone. So
okay.
It's different. Yeah, no, I'd be glad to.
I need to change my career. I need to put on some skates, get a stick, and I could play running back for somebody's hockey team.
And you know what, Corey? Are you aware that the Argonauts played a hockey game? I don't know if they did it this year or last year, but only a few years back, maybe before you were with the Argos, they played, I think, a game, the Argo players that knew how to skate played against the teachers for a charity.
Okay.
So there are a couple of Argos that understand the game of hockey.
You know what? CB3 Performance needs to put together an event where we come out there and we do some hockey. That's something we need to put together. Let's work on putting that together.
Corey?
We're going to put on a hockey event.
Okay, here's what we've accomplished tonight. We're going to go to Panera, and now we have a reason to go to Panera together because we can have a meeting to discuss what we're going to do in bringing Corey Boyd and CB3 into the hockey universe.
That sounds like a plan.
Well, we're going to go for that. Now, what I can ask you is I got to talk to my daughter because I don't have I don't want to say the guy's name, the owner of Panera, but I got to get his phone number. And we'll sit down together and have a coffee together. And we'll make sure that he doesn't pay so that we can ask him to sponsor us.
Hey, that sounds good.
Right? We got to go for long-term gain. Short-term pain for long-term gain. And I'm gonna use my arm stretcher so that my arms are a little longer than normal so I can actually reach my wallet.
Okay. Man, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure talking to you too, Corey. So, you know what? It's really been an experience. Is there anything I left out that we should be talking about? We talked about hockey. Basically, hockey is different in football. Another thing you know what? You're right. We'll go to a game and we'll do that. We'll do the hockey lesson. We'll do that. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
I'll get the hockey tutorial by you.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do it. I'll teach you all there is to know about hockey, Frank style.
Sounds good.
Now, the only problem I got to tell you is, while I'm not a Don Cherry guy, I do like the physicality of hockey.
Who wouldn't? I mean, it wouldn't be hockey if it wasn't physical.
There you go. See how we understand each other?
I'm loving it.
All right, so I'll remind everybody that Corey's on Facebook. Corey King Boyd, you punch that in your Facebook, you'll find Corey. He's also on Twitter, CB3 Performance, right? Isn't that what it is?
On Twitter is CB3 Performance.
Oh.
No, it's actually King Boyd 03.
Okay, and that's there too, right? But you do have your CB3 Performance. Is that just a web page, or is that?
Yeah, it's under construction right now with CB3 Performance.
Okay. And CB's into Corey Boyd is into helping people get fit. I assume also train some young football players as well.
Yes, I train six athletes right now throughout the GTA area. Right now, I'm doing registration for anyone who's interested in mentoring and getting sports training done.
Is there a contact number at this time?
Yes, it's 416-452-0303.
All right, so 416-452-0303. And, of course, maybe I'll introduce you to my neighbor. He's a high school football coach.
Oh, sounds good. I'm always about, networking and talking football.
Absolutely not, but he's a good coach. His team won, I think they won the Mississauga Championship last year.
Would this be a coach by the name of Mr. Chris Hobbs?
No.
No.
But he's an assistant coach. The guy I'm talking about is an assistant coach. I should say that.
Okay.
We're talking about Clarkson.
Okay.
We're talking about Clarkson. Is that the team you're thinking about?
No. I have a lot of teams right now. A lot of coaches that I'm talking to right now. So.
Well, that's I'm sure you would be. I'm just saying to make a thrill for someone that I know. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it. Let's put it all together.
Well, the first thing we got to do is we got to decide which Panera we're going to go to. So I think it only fair that maybe we should go to yours, but maybe I'll make the phone call and find. We'll let the person we want to talk to decide for us.
Okay, that sounds good.
How's that?
Let's make it work.
And I want to say this about Panera Bread. I sound like I'm plugging them, but I'm going to anyway. I don't know if you're aware, but the leftover food that they have every night goes to charity that they don't sell.
Oh wow! You just taught me something new that I did not know. That's good. I like
yep.
that.
That's what they do. And, it's, a big company, and they're really good. And like I said, I'm proud of my daughters who are in there on the ground floor, and maybe, you know, they have their future laid out there for them. At the very least, the experience to have a really good future. So I'm happy about that. And it's nice that they do that. So I find that very heartwarming. Like I said, companies sometimes don't do enough, and that's you know, a small gesture that I don't know. It sounds good to me. So we'll get that back together. And do you have any questions for me? You want to put me on it?
No,
only to be fair. You can
no,
put me.
No, no, no. It's okay. I love you. I love you, man. We're gonna have our time while I put you on blast. But right now, I got you.
Okay, you got
I'll let
me.
You win. Winning tonight. You winning tonight. You got the upper hand.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, we talked hockey. That's the only reason why I have the upper hand. Once we have a football in our hand, I don't stand a chance.
You might. If you prepare with CB3 performance, you might.
You never know, right? Okay,
yes,
buddy.
Sir.
Been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time. Gosh, we were only going to be on for an hour. We went on an extra 16 minutes. I mean, or 26 minutes, actually. Holy moly. Buddy, you and I can really ramble on, can't we?
Oh, definitely can.
All right, I'll give you a call later, and we'll hook up, and we'll keep it a secret which one we're going to when, you know. But having said that, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Corey.
Always.
Good luck. Good luck with the CB3 performance and all your endeavors. And most of all, I look forward this year to having you come in to play either for the Argonauts or against the Argonauts, but regardless, to play football this year. I'm looking forward to that, buddy.
Thank you so much, sir, and God bless you.
God bless you too, my friend. Corey Boyd, CB3, number 3, Toronto Argonauts. Last year, he was let go by the Argonauts, moved on to the Edmonton Eskimos, and now he's a free agent. And he's someone that takes failure and turns it into success. And I think it's a good lesson for all of us that, you know, one that I wish I could learn better, that, you know, every obstacle in life is just an opportunity to overcome. So that's what we hope. Okay, here's a message from, hey, listen, if you've ever given a thought to really getting to know football players as I've gotten to know Corey, you can go to the CFLPA Fantasy Camp. And all you have to do is you log on to CFLPA, that's the CFL Players Association, and there will be a fantasy camp happening, and you can join it. And here's a little...
What is your football fantasy? I know what mine is. What is your football fantasy? Winnipeg fans can let you know one way or the other how things are going and what their opinions are. We understand that it's the fans that are the lifeblood of this league. It's great to play in an area with a community that cares very much. I tell you, Barbados has to be one of the most pristine environments I've ever seen. They're some of the nicest beaches I've experienced in my life, and the people here are extremely accommodating and friendly. It's interesting to see, you know, the different dynamics and the personality when you take the pads and the helmets off. You really get to know the guys, you know, from surfing with them to grabbing some rum punch later on in the evening or going on a safari jungle tour.
Hey.
I'm looking forward to teaming up with some great fans from Winnipeg. I guarantee you'll have a good time.
I am Ryder Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Ryder Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
Microphone. Let's turn on the microphone so people can hear. Okay, let's, in the news today. Can you believe I watched that Leaf game before it went to air with Corey? Reimer stood on his head. And during the broadcast, it was mentioned, you know, how Reimer has not been given, you know, the proper, he hasn't been given his props. I think it's best that nobody in this town gives him his props, because the worst thing that could happen right now is that we start over-pumping Reimer. Let him play his game. It's great that he's under the radar. He could pull a great thing. And, you know, most goalies that have reputations today, even the guy that was on the other end of the rink, Brodeur, made their reputations in the playoffs. That's where they really, goaltenders, make their reputation. And we all know that there's been a lot of goalies that have great reputations. And, let's just say that they have a good year in the playoffs, and then they have trouble struggling years after. And the only goalie that, in my opinion, that is far better during the regular season and not in the playoffs is Luongo. And Roberto Luongo was a candidate to come to the Maple Leafs. How many people are really happy that he didn't come to the Maple Leafs? You know, apparently, you know, you take a look, you know, it's a win-win for the Leafs that trade never happened and they were smart enough not to make the trade. Let's keep in mind they didn't intend to make the trade. And, they would be short a center right now, a number one center. And they would be short Kadri was the other that they wanted to send. So, you know, the Leafs would have been without three of their best players because they would have been playing Luongo. So, you know, Leaf fans have to be very happy with the way things turned out. And tonight, what a game. Coach Carlisle has them playing defense and has them playing within the rules of the game that he has, which are no outstanding chances for the other team. While they were outshot, the chances that they had, yes, Reimer made a couple of great saves, but they were great saves mostly because he saw the shots and was able to react. And the Leaf defense has done a good job of, if you watch very carefully, you'll see that the defensemen are doing their best to come between the goalie and the offensive player. And it's working for them. And congratulations to them. And it looks like the Leafs are going to make the playoffs. It'll take a total calamity, a collapse that took place last year during the whole season where the third period was a nightmare for that team. And, of course, finally, the Oilers have finally made the move that they should have made, by my definition and by my claims, at least two or three years ago. The Oilers need a good management team. They need that good management team to manage the fine talent that they have. There is not a team in the league, and I include the Pittsburgh Penguins, that have as much talent, burgeoning talent, like the Edmonton Oilers. That team is a future winner if managed properly. Well, they tried doing that. They're under new management now, and we'll see how it works out. Now, the Blue Jays. I'm almost afraid to look at their record. I don't know about you guys. And, you know, the injury bug now. Oh, my goodness. Now, here's what I'm going to say. They won tonight. They haven't won a series yet. And one of their prize acquisitions may be out for as much as 3 months. Reyes injury. Reyes says he hopes to be back sooner, escalated healing process. This may be a blessing in disguise because this team has adversity now based on overhyping by the organization. When I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell you this straight. When I saw the opening ceremonies for the opening day here in Toronto for the Toronto Blue Jays, I almost died. Unbelievable. Folks, replay that thing from the beginning to the end. Now look at it as opposed to being a fan that's been anticipating this great team that's been put together. It was way too much. Way too much. Guys, why would you do that to your players? Looking back, that was the mistake that the Jays made. They overpumped their team. Rather than come in under the radar and go, yeah, but we haven't proven anything yet, you know, it's all great that we got a lot of guys here who look like they have a lot of talent. Instead, they went the 20 minutes of management patting themselves on the back for the moves that they made, telling these players how wonderful they are, almost handing them the World Series at that very moment. That was a real feeble attempt to attract the fans. The fans, you know, aren't that stupid. The Blue Jays, whoever decided to do that, was implying that the fans are too stupid to realize the kind of players they brought in. I was insulted. I really turned off the TV and I couldn't watch anymore. It was making me throw up a little inside my mouth. Not a lot. Unbelievable. So now I mentioned that this is a good thing. Race injury is a good thing for the Blue Jays. Because now the team can back off and say to themselves, okay, now we have some bad luck to deal with. And these guys are professionals. And if they really have the kind of character they think that the management team brought in, doled those or picked up those contracts, because they really didn't sign the contracts, make the contracts, basically assuming other teams' contracts, these players now have an opportunity to just play hard because they're not supposed to win. And usually teams in this situation, historically, play really well. And I am predicting at this point that the Blue Jays are going to turn their season around because the players that they do have character. The players they do have talent. And bear in mind, Bautista didn't play tonight either. So, teams can't do that for long, but if they are the real deal, in other words, if they are the team with depth that people have been clamoring about ever since they brought in these players, we're going to find out. They're going to get a chance to prove that the organization was right. And they're going to get a chance to prove it with a little bit of adversity and a little bit of lack of faith. Nothing is a better ignition for a team to have success than a little bit of doubt. You know, Miami Heat lost the first year they had the big three. And people wrote them off and said, you guys are toast. Do you see how they came back? Now, I'm not saying the Blue Jays are that dominating, but I am saying that the Blue Jays will play like they should play, which is they should be competing at the very least for a wild card, without a doubt. You know, I believe at the end of the season, if they're allowed to be the players they can be, with management, Rogers, stop selling the team like they're God's gift, and just let the fans see what they are, let the players be who they are, and maybe this team can be successful. And if it is, and I believe it will be, and I think it'll be the kind of situation this year where they will be in they're going to be in the wild card hunt, but at striking distance for winning the division. And September will be about them getting in as a wild card or getting in as a pennant winner. Now, we all know that for those of us that love the game of baseball, historically, this town has had more than many teams in the majors have had. They had two winners in 93, 94. A lot of teams haven't won the World Series. A lot of cities still dying to win a World Series, even though it's been that long. But you know what? once again, the irony is, if the Jays can do it, here's the irony I like. If the Jays can get into the postseason, and if the Leafs can get into the postseason, we're saying right now the Leafs can probably do it. The excitement that the Leafs will bring, if you remember correctly, of course, that was in 93 as well when the Jays won the World Series. The Leafs had Gilmore, and they were making a lot of noise, too. Maybe that's what needs to happen. The Jays and the Leafs need to be successful together. They can't do it independently. And maybe this is that year where Toronto sports fans can enjoy summer and winter victories after a summer victory by the Toronto Argonauts who won the Grey Cup. And this year, it'll be a good year. If the Jays do well and the Leafs do well and the Argos did well, you know, TFC, the Raptors, maybe next year will be their year. Maybe that'll be the year when they actually come out and do well. But we'll only see. Now, the real story is in tennis. God, I love this kid, Milos Raonic. He has moved on. He won the first round at the Monte Carlo Open. And I love the way he played in the Davis Cup. Did you get the feeling there was some... Did you watch it? Because I really sensed there was a bit of tension between the TSN reporter and Milos. I don't know. Did you guys notice? Did you kind of... I felt like there was a little bit of tension there. Now, needless to say, if I'm Milos Raonic, I'm going to be a little sensitive because as good a player as I am, much like many of the other sports other than hockey, baseball, and, you know, they don't get the kind of attention and respect that they deserve, and that being Tennis Canada and the tennis players from Canada. You know, I'm sure part of the problem is that Milos gets more respect outside of Toronto than he does in Toronto or the Canadian media. So I want you to know, Milos, if you were paying attention to this show when it first started, you were one of the first stories that I latched onto, and I always felt that you would be a great player, and he will be a great player, as he is right now, the kind of player that Canada has never seen. In fact, he's already that. Semifinals, Davis Cup, on his back. You know, so, you know, I'll never get a chance to interview him because he's way too high profile for me. He's a I would protect him from, you know, some of those fly by night reporters like myself, you know, that aren't on TSN or aren't on Sportsnet. I'm kidding you, folks. Someday maybe we'll have him on and we'll talk to him and we'll talk to him about tennis in Canada and, you know. Why does he think, I'd love to ask him that question, the biggest question, what do you think is the reason why you have become such a good player coming through the Tennis Canada ranks where not many players have come before? I think it's because of his sheer talent. But Tennis Canada needs to be congratulated as well because sheer talent can be ruined and can be misguided. So Tennis Canada deserves a congratulations as well because they stayed out of his way and let his talent grow. And for that, as a tennis fan, I am very grateful. My tennis fandom goes back to Carling Bassett, you know, the darling of tennis. And back then, just like now, she played in Florida, proud Canadian, did well for Canada in international events. Unfortunately, she didn't win any championships, but did us proud. Milos Raonic is a real, real opportunity for a Canadian to stand at center court in New York or in Australia or in London in England. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to it. My hat's off to you, Milos and Milos. And I hope you have a great match next up at the Monte Carlo Open. Get into round two and Keep making the big news, my friend. Really enjoy what he's doing. Now, today, I watched 60 Minutes in Sports. And I was totally enthralled by the show. Have any of you ever seen 60 Minute Sports? 60 Minutes Sports, you know, tick, 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 60 Minutes? They did. The 60 Minute Sports, the headline story was the Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl that Baltimore won over San Francisco, the Blackout Bowl, as it will be known for eternity. And they did their story on that, on the behind the scenes and what makes that game what it is and who makes it happen between security and all this kind of stuff. If you get a chance to see it and you have the movie channel, it's a Showtime, I think it's a, it's a CBS Sports production, but I think it originates on Showtime in the United States, and it's shown here on the movie channel. And if you get a chance to see it, and I'm sure there's a bunch of you, it was awesome. If you're a football fan, it was a football night, because then they also did the story on NFL films from the beginning. And anybody who's watched NFL films knows that no other sport, well, Pee-wee in baseball, the baseball show. Geez, now I forgot the name of the show. Anyway, this week in baseball, TWIB. TWIB is awesome, but NFL Today shot all in film, extremely close mics, extremely close cameras, where you hear the guys talk, you hear the smashing of the bodies against each other and all that kind of stuff. Goodness gracious. Watching that and how that developed and how that became what it is today and what it's become, you know, from something that was basically a camera and a microphone. And it was awesome. I really recommend for any of you that are real football fans, I found it extremely interesting. And especially about the Blackout Super Bowl. Now, you know that we exist here because of football. In the final few minutes that we have in the program tonight, we'll take a short break. We'll come back and we'll discuss the CFL. Even though there's not a lot to talk about, there's some stuff to talk about other than the cheerleaders.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape. He was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off, and no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
I am Ryder Pride, the flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Ryder Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh, no.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I fly to BC and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. I pocket Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, writing, raving, and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong.
Nah. I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
He's
such a big
Argo.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway mess jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah! And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay! They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it will make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joe Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Moen, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal.
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
Yo.
Hey! R-G-O-O!
I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
The greatest radio host in Toronto, Mike Richards. Every morning, folks, TSN Radio, 1050 on your dial, 30 on your television dial, 30, 406, 407. No, 506, 507, I think it's also. But anyway, I digress. I love that's just one of the best tunes ever, let me tell you, when it comes to football. Now, we've got a situation, of course, where the 101st Grey Cup is going to Saskatchewan, and we all know that The previous two cups were won by the home teams, BC the year before last and the Argos this past year. Now, this team, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, has been loading up. And word is, what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing and what I'm reading, is Abraham Kroma says he's going to fly under the radar this year. And the reason he says that is something that we all should realize, and that is that the receiving corps in Saskatchewan this year is going to be incredible. They are going to make life miserable for every defense in the league. If you're a Saskatchewan fan, you're looking pretty good. Now, I'm an Argo fan, mostly because I live in Toronto, and I love this city, and I love everything it means to me, born and raised. But I got to tell you, this Saskatchewan team is going to be a dynamo on offense. Now, the Argos went in there last year and defeated Saskatchewan, and that's what started their role. We heard it from a few Argos that that was the game that they felt made a difference. And it sure enough did. And the Argos went on, of course, as you know, to win the 100th Grey Cup. Now, the first Grey Cup in the next century is in Saskatchewan, 101. And, you know, some of the Saskatchewan players could be considered having let the team down in the semifinal against Calgary, losing. And, you know, they got amends to make for their fans. But I got to tell you, if you're a Saskatchewan fan, it's amazing that they're under the cap to me. I keep saying that because I really find it hard to believe that they're under the cap. But they say they are. Okay. Well, that's a team to worry about in my mind. Now, we also have in Montreal, Lavoie was injured, and that's Patrick Lavoie. And he's had successful surgery in his back. He's a receiver that Montreal needs. It's going to be a season in flux for the Montreal Alouettes. But, you know, aside from all the high-tech equipment that they're using and the fact that they're Skyping their meetings, we'll see if that works out. You know, they're getting all techie and stuff. And I'm sorry, he's a fullback. This back issue that he had, hopefully, you know, it'll help him, this operation, and he can become, you know, everything he can be. Now, he's going to be at the mini camp, and right away, I guess the Alouettes will be able to tell for sure whether, you know, his injury is fully healed, and post-op, he's fine as well. Montreal Alouettes this year, I'm trying to figure out what kind of team they're going to be. Do you know what kind of team they're going to be? They brought in a couple of really good receivers, so Calvillo's going to have guys to pass to. You know, the running game, it's always been something that they've mastered, and it's what helps their offense in the past. So we'll see what happens this year with them. I still haven't heard anything else in as far as it appears Owens did get unscathed, the Toronto Argonaut, the most valuable player in the CFL. He's okay, and, you know, he's ready to repeat this year. The Argos have made some moves. They've filled some holes. Some holes were created by virtue of players leaving. And those holes have been filled, and the biggest question for the Argonauts is going to be, will they be able to be successful not being under the radar as they were last year? As much as all their adoring Argo fan loyalists felt that, you know, just like every team, their fans believe that they're going to win all the time, the reality is the rest of the league didn't think so. And it was, I believe, part of the reason why they did win the Grey Cup last year. So hopefully they'll grow as a team, and if you're an Argo fan, hopefully they will be able to prove that it wasn't an accident and that they can win under surmounting pressure from all the other teams in the league, including the vastly improved Saskatchewan Roughriders. I really think that Ticats and the Bombers are dark horses, and I don't think Montreal is taking a step back. And, of course, BC out in the West, to conclude our show for tonight, they've got a lot to prove as well. And, you know, Calgary, They were the favorite coming out of the loss against the Argos at the Grey Cup. They were the instant favorite for next year. And Edmonton with Hervey. Hervey's made some great moves. They're going to be an interesting team to follow as well. Anyway, it was an interesting show. We had Corey Boyd on, and I always enjoy having Corey on. It was the second time we've had him on. This time I'm not in Florida and didn't have a lot of technical issues to deal with. Here's the out-of-date extra that I keep playing. I just love it so much, I don't care that it's wrong. It's not 10:30 for the show. It's 10 o'clock.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.